Your English form of Jesus' name comes from a shortened classical Hebrew Aramaic form of Yeshua. However, the name Yeshua is, in turn, a shortened form of the name of the great biblical hero Joshua, son of Nun. The Hebrew name in full is Yehoshua. Yeshua was the name of commonly used before the Babylonian exile. Among the Jews after the Chaldean Babylonian exile, the short form of the term was adopted, Yeshua. We'll pause and turn the tape. Despite this change, the name Joshua did not die out entirely. Jesus was a very common name in Palestine and remained popular among the Judeans until the beginning of the 2nd century CE. The Jews stopped using Jesus as a personal name and revived the classical term Yeshua. Thereafter, Jesus became a rare name among the 2nd century Jewish people. It continued to be a common name in the Hispanic languages while being pronounced as Jesus. The Son of Man, Bar Nasha. While we fiddle with the labels, let us consider the term Son of Man and get ready for another surprise. In the major Semitic languages of Aramaic, Hebrew, and Arabic, the term Son of Man means a human being. In everyday language, Jesus referred to himself as a human being. According to the Gospels, he used the term Son of Man approximately 28 times. Son of Man is a rather peculiar Aramaic expression of speech in the Western mind, and it has caused a great deal of confusion when attempting to interpret the Gospels without the knowledge of the Aramaic language. The word itself in Aramaic is Bar Nasha, a compound noun. Bar means son, and Nasha means man. It is improper to literally translate this Aramaic term, Bar Nasha, as the son of man, yet many biblical translators have and still do render this term literally. But let's go back a bit further and look at the term the Son of God, Bar Dalaha. In the Aramaic Semitic language and culture, the term Bar Dalaha, Son of God, God's Son, or God's Child, is used many ways and may refer to an orphan, a meek young man. In contrast, a meek, mature individual is often called a man of God, a peacemaker, a good, kind, or pious individual. The word son, as we learn from the term son of man, is subtly used to infer likeness, resemblance, and to be in the image of. Thus, son of God signifies like God or God-likeness. The intended meaning of son of God depends on the context in which it is used in the various passages of the Bible, like everything else is used in the Bible. More important to this only begotten son attitude, let us look at the words of actual use in this phrase. The only begotten son, Ehidia. The man, entity, person, you name it, of so-called Jesus never claimed he was God's only son. The claim that Jesus was God's only begotten son was made by others. This term is found exclusively in the Gospel of John, which is now more questionable than ever for that very fact. The term only begotten, which appears in John's Gospel as a translation of the Greek word monogenes, cannot be justified. It is an improper English rendering of this Greek word. Monogenes is composed of two Greek words, monos, meaning singular, and genos, meaning kind. When these two words are combined, they literally mean one of a kind. You will find, if you go back and study your homework, that, however, genos is distantly related to the verb genen, which means go beget. It is not proper to translate monogenes as only begotten. A better translation rendering would be unique son. Can you bring yourself to recognize that from the languages in play here, the Arian doctrine actually taught that Jesus was not begotten, but made? How many of you, yes you, speak fluent Aramaic? Some Aramaic? Any Aramaic? Then how can you put your assumption and conclusions on hand-me-down tampered translations. When Paul, Saul of Tarsus, labeled in Greece after the fact Jesus the Messiah, it came along that the entire translation is totally incorrect. So let us look at Mashiach, the Messiah. The term Mashiach, Messiah, the Anointed, the Appointed One, is a title and not a proper name, as is Christ. The Greek term Christos Christ is a Greek translation of the Aramaic word Mashiach and has the same significance. Years after the death of Jesus, the term Christ became a proper name, and Jesus of Nazareth became known as Jesus Christ. A better offering in English would be Jesus the Christ, for accuracy of language, even if not an accurate statement. And here we speak of language, not a state of being or a proper name. You have to also know that the Appointed One, Anointed One, is not accurate either, because kings, priests, and sometimes even prophets were anointed with consecrated oil into their respective offices. Let us put it more simply. Anointing with consecrated oil, applied to the crown of the head like an ointment, is a very ancient rite. In Hebrew, the word anoint is mashash, hence the title Messiah, Anointed One. The act of anointing was considered a transfer of powers to the person who was being anointed, and so it goes on and on and on. The lasting question for necessary answering is certainly focused on this person or being who walked such an interesting pathway among the mortals as man. Jesus, a Semite, oh yes he was, but he was not a Pharisee Jew as known today, nor was he from the Khazarian lineage of those who are now recognized as Jews but are false, and only so-called Jews. If you could follow this line of heritage, you would find him to be of Shem, in the higher sense of the meaning of Shem. This idea, this ideal man of goodness, has continued to speak through the ages of all time. His human personality, his loving nature, and his simple teachings will live forever and continue to enrich and embrace the hearts of the human family everywhere. He was great enough that no amount of frosting, gilding the lily, adds anything to the perfection presented. The trappings added to the tales simply lessen the wondrous being now clouded by incorrect information. When the unpretentious teachings of a man later called Jesus are fully realized, all subtle forms of imperialism which advocate absolutism in such as an infallible church, infallible Bible, infallible doctrines, or infallible anything will no longer stand. The desire, readers, for infallibility is a lust for undisputed authority, absolute power, and seeks to dominate individual freedom and free thought. The human man, in point here, was a simple man. His source was God, and his spiritual insight continues to ignite the hearts and souls of men, women, and children the world over. It is the very perfection of the ideals offered which require the reverence and respect. Never mind the worship. You can worship a thing, but respect and reverence are aspects of the soul. Now, you who think that somehow to prove your importance you must have some cute little label to prove you are somehow chosen or divine or something, I beg to differ. Names are for simple identification, not deification. When some spirit of questionable, at best, authority labels you something or other, I would certainly take note of possibilities of primrose paths and fairy tale games. Walk that pathway without learning truth, and you have trodden upon the pebbles of misrepresented and distracted focus of all time. To choose between the dark and the light does not require a rocket scientist for the basis of choice. May you choose the path you can see and hear and fear not. Good morning.
Thank you. Anyone want to talk about that? Anyone want to ask a question and not talk about it? Then I think we better move on, and maybe during the break, ones of you will be able to conjure up some questions.
Question,
I would hope to answer it.
What's that, bebop? What's that bebop?
Bebop? Bebop is something that you do with your feet to non-music.
It's the comet that's supposed to come and be...
Hale-bopp.
Okay. Well, I read a new one here today, yesterday in the paper, and I've never heard of it before. Just a minute. I got the wrong paper. I got it in here, I think. No, I mislaid the paper.
I know what you're talking about. It's nothing but space debris.
Oh, well, they made a big play of it.
Yeah,
in the
of
paper
course.
Yesterday.
You've got a lot going on in space, and maybe it's a good opportunity to speak of some of these things. It's like they put up a satellite with your shuttle, supposedly. Now, I have to speak in terms that are fed to you every day. You had a shuttle go. Now, as they're looking at the, quote, O-rings of the shuttle, they are going to find some very bad burns. They'll tell you it doesn't amount to anything, etc., but there are some serious, serious problems with what they just did. You see, not only did you put a satellite up, but you claim that somehow it got loose. There isn't any reason in your day and age when you are sending up shuttles to retrieve satellites that you couldn't fire a booster just enough to make the ratio great enough to come around and snag it. The intent is not to snag it. Now, it's sitting up there with the most intense laser rays that you can conjure. They do want to do the simple mapping of the underground caverns, tunnels, and get them mapped, and especially locate what might be alien technology that resides under those deeper pyramid areas, etc. And they have to do that before they get so closed out by the HARP system and some of the sister pulse systems that the strength of the lasers coming through are not sufficient enough to come through that electronic mass or bubble and continue through without additional damage to do the mapping. But they're doing a lot of other things while they're at it. And consequently, any time you have a Vandenberg missile going, a rocket going off with something and an Orion at the same time, you know these are component parts for the overall system that is being established in orbit. They're counting it as a loss because they're going to pull it in when the time is right, and you'll have a big show and tell. Don't be too concerned about these things. Know of their existence, know what they're doing, know what it's for, understand the incredible magnitude of what is taking place globally. It isn't just to manipulate you mind-wise that you have HARP systems. That is going to be a politically important item, but not as important as the ability or the hoped-for ability to stabilize from the other damage that's taken place as you begin to slip. You already have magnetic changes. Due north is no longer due north. And anybody who even pays attention with a compass or someone who is a surveyor should be able, for goodness sakes, to be able to see these differences. The shift is that much, although you're having wobble. And part of your problem is that with your accepted state of gravitational pull, I'm not even going to go into gravity and the mistakes there. But as you wobble, you may not sense wobbling like you would an earthquake. But you will sense my ship in a different place whether I've moved it or not. So don't get hung up on these little tiny details. recognize that something may be important coming in, may not be important, may be a distractor, may be actually something headed your way to test one of your destruction systems or defense systems. They're going to tell you it is. A lot of things have to take place between 1996 and the turn of the millennium. It isn't just Plan 2000. Plan 2000 is to be totally operational, in place and operational by year 2000. By year 2000. Doesn't leave much time, does it? So some major, major things are going to take place. Do they have to take place? I think probably so, because I don't see enough people changing in the established and accepted pathway you're on. You want to hang on to the prophecies. You want to, oh, that is just a fulfillment of the old prophecies. And that sucks you in deeper to the myth, to the lie, and causes you to continue that thought form that takes you directly to that goal that you say you don't want. It's like an abusive parent or spouse. They're very apt to abuse their own children if they've been abused. Why is that so? Well, maybe it's focus. It's like anyone getting onto a bike for the first time and there's only one tree. You're going to hit it. If, no matter what you do, if it's within reach, you will hit it. And that's a very good principle to remember. Whatever you focus on, you're very apt to achieve. Even if you are not aware that is your goal. So if they can keep pushing Holocaust, keep pushing apocalypse, keep pushing rapture, whatever they dream up. Because how many of you are going to go and look and check the Bible? You know, they're going to tell you that, oh, that was an Old Testament fulfillment now in the New Testament. BS it was. You won't find it in the Old Testament or the New. It's a new word. Conjured to fool you. You let it. And when you try to talk about this to somebody else, once you have seen what's happened, they are blind to it because all they want to hear is a way out on the back of somebody else. And that happens to be good old bloody Jesus. You know, physical blood he spilled for you to take away your sins. The very most he could have done was to take away his own. That's the very most he could have done. And neither's right. I'm not here to pull down religions. As far as I'm concerned, they've already fallen. And we don't need to take our time focusing on that and me trying to convince you that this is the way to go. Because if this is not your way to go, I don't want you anyway. Do you hear me? It isn't that I don't want you in heaven with me. It is that we have something to do. And it does require that you have some open understanding, not even full comprehension. Just the ability to kind of accept that there are possibly some things that you have not yet been exposed to and might make a difference in your journey. And not just because I said it. I must always give you an opportunity to be able to go and research whatever I tell you. I don't want you taking it on faith. Once you have established truth, then you may very well take things on faith. But you'll back it up with fact, because I'm not even going to allow you to depend on me in a courtroom. Because the ones in the courtroom must deal with fact as they see it, not even as they wish it would be. If you have a jury, you must present your case backed up by substantial fact. And no distractions.
Do they have the technology to hold time on this planet yet?
Yes. Certainly do.
Are they using it?
Yes. Yes, they are. Extremely technologically advanced.
Yeah.
And this, you have to remember, the concept of etheric beingness, just like the mental concept of achieving goals, is just as active for the negative forces as it is for the life forces. And they will use even superior to God's lighted forces, who actually will become creators in time. They'll use it for the negative acquisition of things far more effectively than will you. Because you will get confused. That doesn't sound quite right. Maybe I better not do it. Well, once you establish right from wrong in the laws of God and creation, you won't be troubled by making those choices. You will just automatically make the correct choice because of your goal. Why won't then, as we come into the environment of learning about higher existence, evolution, and transition, why won't the negative forces, the dark energy, just take that run with it? Because they won't see it. They won't see it and they won't hear it. If they can technologically use it to bring about physical control and manipulation, they will truly use it. But for the right purpose, it's invisible to them. And you will say, I don't understand what it is you don't understand. Well, it's because their focus has no relationship to what you see. And once into knowing, you cannot go back into not knowing. The technology is here. Some of it is being used. The worst part is they have no methods by which they can control the more destructive prana destruction, life, soul, energy destruction, once you get a chain reaction started. Because in energy, you have a continuing multiplication exponentially of energy, and it'll blow out all of the capacitors. It's harmonics, yes, but it moves on into the light realms. You see, the epitome is light. Totally transparent light. But you don't have any way to name these things accurately. So you think of white versus black. Light holds all color. Black is devoid of any color. These are absolutes, and when you take these kinds of terms, you have to go with the next best description. Well, black is descriptive in itself. White is not truly descriptive of light, unless, of course, it is a white light. But you don't have a better description for the transparency, the crystalline radiance of actual true light. And you can't see light anyway. Now you can see a laser. You can see a flashlight beam. Or do you? You see the particulate surrounding the beam as it bounces off. You look to your neighbor, and if it were totally a vacuum of darkness, you would not see anything. You wouldn't see light coming in there, except as it is reflected from the surface of the individual. And you don't even have the X-ray vision that can see within the individual or beyond what is on the surface. If you have a transparent surface, you can. If you have an opaque surface, you can maybe see light behind it. No, opaque, translucent, forgive me. Translucent means that light can penetrate it. But it's very, very cloudy vision. Opaque means that the light does not penetrate it, and it's just there. So when you deal with vision and you deal with light, and especially once you get into the capability of bending light rays, which is a very normal phenomenon, and we'll talk about it in illusion in the next writing, then you're getting into the field of technology, which has gotten you also into trouble. Because as you begin to make something invisible, stealth quality, you very rapidly move over the time continuum and misplacement, dispersion.
Isn't there like matter that's reflective and then matter that isn't reflective?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Does Q from Star Trek The Next Generation have anything to do with Hold on. Security clearance at light?
By the way, to answer Patricia, just before we move on, when you have something that does not reflect light at all, you have a very good stealth product. It absorbs light. And that, too, can produce invisibility.
Does Q from Star Trek The Next Generation have anything to do with the security clearance at Dreamland in Nevada's underground alien base?
Not really. It might be based on the idea of the capability that particular actor has.
And as far as his character.
But I'm not going to talk about security clearances very, very much because I also have agreements, and that's very, very sensitive. Just know that the original Star Trek series, not this trash you're getting now, but as Star Trek came into being, and it was not literally written as far out as it was received in the beginning, because they knew it would absolutely blow the minds of anybody watching. So you had a silly Captain Kirk and this sort of thing. But the series itself is based on actual computer receiving between the outer space aliens and communications on Earth. So it's based on true fact.
The actual Federation?
Yes.
So there's a show that is coming on next month, I believe, called Star Command. How, if any, does it connect with the Higher Cosmic Council?
Not at all. I'm sorry about that, because it could be very useful. And it may come into being able to be utilized if enough of you people, you viewers, wake up and demand it. But these monster shows that you have going now, and X-Files is reverted into that sort of mystic, scare you to death kind of a program, started out fine. Concept fine, begins to get you to the point of being able to accept some possibilities, and then it just drifts off into the little world of manipulation and control.
Is it possible to save any of that format, or does it need to be completely changed and begun from a new conception?
You need to change the entire media system before you can. Everything can be changed and brought back from where it is. In a very usable sequence of events. I don't see that happening yet. I think you're going to end up being better off just to start with good motion pictures, such as truthful motion pictures, such as Sipapu, let us say, and build upon that rather than try to resurrect something that has been deliberately torn down.
So is that the reason there's no spirituality in these shows, that physics-wise can produce some seemingly magical effects, but they all leave out God?
Yes.
And
exactly. They leave out God. They will make sort of a momentary gesture toward God. And some of them still are realizing that we must reach out beyond what is visible even in the play. But while you have the total manipulation and control of an industry, as you do, and that industry is not going, it's looking for major control and manipulation of an entire people, you're not going to have them allowing very much openness toward that wonderment. That'll come through. It'll be shown, but it's going to be shown in your angel pictures and things like that.
What about that new spy program that's coming out on Discovery?
Well, I don't know. I don't want to spend the afternoon on TV.
Oh, well.
I'm not. I don't want to just cut it short.
Be real.
Let's see what unfolds.
Okay.
I haven't seen any of it, so I haven't had any interest in it. I probably will now.
Yeah.
And you have to understand that Taken, even with all of its negatives, once you are enlightened, you see something entirely different in those pictures than anything the public sees. So don't think that you can't learn. You must watch these things to be able to hone your own evaluation system. And then they can be very, very entertaining as well as an interesting challenge. What do you see in there? And when you relate it to the God experience of transition into a higher, finer dimension of knowing, it's amazing what you'll get out of it. And it's amazing what the news begins, or the non-news begins to tell you, even by its total absence. That tells you more than anything. Well, that's a good one. An interesting concept and perception in politics right now going on is what is taking place as the Khazarian communists try to regain total control over Russia. Gorbachev is going to run for president of Russia. How interesting. This man resides at your military presidio, has a non-profit foundation where the elite of your land go. And he's going to hop over back to Russia and become president? What does that tell you? It tells you they don't want Zhirinovsky in. So it may make the game a little harder here, because already the cosmospheres are having to gear up to penetrate that shield that is getting thicker and thicker and thicker in your atmosphere from these pulse systems. Well, you're going to head for protection in other ways anyhow. And most of that protection will simply come from knowing what you're about and getting your own systems built up into that finer frequency. And you're going to have to stop trying to save everybody in the world. Your job is not that. Maybe somebody will come along who is supposed to save everybody in the world. That's not us. That is not us. Isn't it a relief?
Hatton, the name of that comet is Hayakutake.
What does that mean?
That's the name they gave to it.
It sounds like Pukaki.
It's supposed to be seen in the sky on March 20th to April 2nd.
Okay.
It's supposed to be bright.
Doesn't know they're beginning to make enough damage that you see, ultraviolet rays can be very, very damaging. They can be very, very destructive. The infrared rays can be very, very destructive. Remember, when you hear these terms, you are talking about ultraviolet. That is extremely high violet-colored rays. Infrared, red. You get all your clues from what's there, and I'm amazed at the scientific community that does not allow the proper connection of these things. Universal law is totally simplistic. God did not complicate things. Man complicates things. And maybe rather than just swish off into these little side things. Maybe EJ, somebody, I need someone to present this, and it's going to be pretty damn technical. And I apologize for that, but you people have got to go through it. You've got to hear it. You've got to see if you can even reasonably comprehend it. And the scientific minds in here have got to relate to it.
That's why Ed gets to read it.
Okay, this is Sunday's writing. Think there just a second. Well, I wanted to add a comment before I read this. Two comments. First one is, it's becoming deplorable now that I have cable TV and I can put things on like the Discovery Channel and see what they offer for scientific information for students and for people who are out there who are thinking they're getting concepts in physics or chemistry or things like that. It's absolutely awful what they've done in terms of degrading the physics and the chemistry and degrading even history lessons to such babbling comic book versions that you think you understand something when you really don't have any concept of even the fundamentals. And this is going to become alarming, and it makes Commander's job in trying to do a writing which basically is no more difficult here when I was in high school than high school chemistry. And yet it's becoming increasingly difficult to even read this with any kind of understanding.
Well,
because
yes.
Of what's happened.
Thank you. I want to communicate with you here for bringing that up. We look at something like Pons and Fleischmann and Colfusion. They did not produce Colfusion. What they did have, and what they do have, and what is being used in the higher technical circles where they are using this, is not fusion. It is that they have a superconductor. And you have to, at some point, understand what that means. And it has to do with deuterium breakdown. It's interesting. All of these things are fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. But what is happening is not what you think is happening. And realizing that, and I can go through this with Dr. Young, for instance, I can't possibly go into all of those things. I have no desire to go into all of those things. But we must go into it deeply enough to know what we need to access what our Dhriyas need in order to allow a body to make this transition in wholeness at some point here. So I'm sorry to interrupt you. You're really on the right track.
But the other point I wanted to make gets back to the writing that you heard earlier on at this meeting, which was Saturday's writing, having to do with the Art Bell Show and Richard Hoagland, who's been on several times recently and will be on again on March 15th with apparently some very important information he's collecting from various NASA sources, private sources who trust him and can feed him their little bits of information. Remember in the high secure community of doing scientific work that everybody works on a little piece of the puzzle. And you may not know how your piece of the puzzle fits in with the guy who's one desk over from you, but if all of them call Richard Hoagland and spill the beans about their little piece of the puzzle, somebody in Richard's position may be able to hook the pieces together and then present a larger picture. And that's one of the reasons why Commander is so emphatic about Richard's book, because he's well connected. And he is putting together some very important pieces of things on the moon and on Mars. And then just recently made the comment on Art Bell's show a couple nights ago that that he thought the main reason for the HAARP systems used right now was not so much to scramble our brains or to disrupt communications, though those are possible with it. The main reason was to look for ancient underground civilizations and what technology may still be there from these advanced civilizations. And that, of course, probably shocked the hell out of Art Bell, because I had faxed him last Monday night what was going to be our Tuesday's headline about the Grand Canyon and what went on under there that Commander had subtly already put out there. so that the crooks could not hide at least that one location. And this will give a number of people that artists heavily connected to pause for thought, including people like Hoagland, who probably read The Contact, and yet none of these people admit it. They all quote from it, they all use it to guide their research quietly, but none of them comment about it. So these are important confirmations for these kinds of people to see a week before Hoagland talks about it. We already are running it on the front page of Contact.
Well, another place where there are almost as well known and as secret, a maze of tunnels and underground facilities and things, is Arkansas. I mean ancient.
Okay, here's the Sunday, March 10, 96 writing from this morning. Starts out, time out. Where are you scientists when we need you? This is a very good question, and I have the answer, which I'm sure the scientists are not going to appreciate. I believe I will have to burden BJ with this, EJ, because I find a bit of lack of inclusion with MM, and I have to have some people who will put aside chemistry and physics as taught in the schools to move on beyond each step in which followers simply tend to stagnate. We will have to move backwards and see if we can break through the focus on other things and allow pleas for wider vision in our own goals of accomplishment. Monatomic gold. No, David Hudson does not have the answers to everything in the universe and doesn't claim to have those answers. He has realized the presence of monatomic gold.